Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio. Coming to you live from the 805, coming from the WL Fraley Studios in beautiful Pismo Beach, California. It is none other than SenCal Pro Radio. What's going on, everyone? It is I, Jimmy Ray from Facebook. Once again, coming to you, bringing to you all the live info, the live wire, the hot static stuff that is the upcoming weeks of SenCal Pro. It's going to be awesome. But before I get any further, I got to give thanks, got to give love, got to show props to the law offices of Dennis James Balsamo, Slow Beverage and More, and Traditional Tattoo. Why? Those three are our humble locations of ticket sales in San Luis Obispo. So if you're out on Higuera Street or South Street, pretty much that same area over by like the Jiffy Lube and no further than, I don't know, that Army Tackle Store. You definitely got to, every single one of those places, they are preaching the name SenCal Pro, and you can get your tickets there for our inaugural show coming to you Sunday, 22nd. Yeah, I was, sorry, fans. That's what happens when you're reading on live radio. You read, you get lost. But Sunday, March 22nd, we are going live at the Grad. SenCal Pro has landed in San Luis Obispo for the inaugural show number one. It is our first show. And you never know what's going to happen, but with the lineup that we have, it is going to be a crazy, crazy show. Check out more information on that. You can definitely get tickets right away. You can just bypass this whole show. You just hang up right now. If you are so jazzed that you want tickets to the show, I give you a free pass out of this show right now. If you promise to go to sencalpro.brownpapertickets.com or give us a call at 996-0192 if you're in the 805 area code. And let us know that you want SenCal Pro tickets. That's 996-0192. Call that number for real. There really is, like, someone that picks up. And I will make sure the office forwards it directly to Sledge. We'll make that be the Sledge hotline. Well, the show tonight, we don't have Sledge on the show tonight. So, you know, that's okay because there are plenty of other wrestlers who have stepped forward since the name SenCal has been spoken. I mean, we've had Sledge, Rick Luxury, you know, Caden Anthony, Jacob Diaz, heck, even Sage Sin has already stepped forward to be a part of the show, letting us know that they are waving the banner high for SenCal Pro Wrestling. And I got to tell you, the banner can't get any higher. And well, I guess I don't mean higher, but I was looking for another green metaphor because there's a lot of green slime, if you will, where there would normally be red tape over the banner flying today. My guest tonight, he is none other than, you can call him the snake to my mongoose, or perhaps the mongoose to my snake. I don't do animals. Suffice to say, Discord, the Cyberpunk, and I, him and I go back a long way. I mean, we go back to the old days of, you know, previous, you know, wrestling radio was where him and I used to know each other, you know, in old, some old shtick called previous wrestling radio. That's where him and I, you know, where I met the Cyberpunk for the first time. He hacked my show. He made a mockery of everything. And it wasn't the first or the last time I really had to deal with him. But, you know, before we go any further, I think at this point it's only privy to say hello to my guest tonight. He is the Cyberpunk Core.
Hello. You're still on the radio?
Yeah, believe it or not, they they allowed me to come back to the air. It turns out there wasn't a whole lot of detail surrounding my exact termination, I guess, if that was the kind term for it.
You got fired.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the case. Yeah, you remember our days at previous wrestling radio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. PP Dubs.
Yes, PP Dubs at the previous pro wrestling where, Discord and I previously knew each other, previously. It was previous.
You got fired.
Yeah. that's the whole thing, too. Like, what's the deal behind that,
You screwed up, man. I mean, you screwed up and the boss brought the hammer down. That's what happens.
Yeah, and I never really got to know. I mean, we did a show, and that's funny. There was a show that you and I had done.
The best show in all of radio ever in the history.
Oh, yeah. And did you know it was deleted from the previous wrestling radio archive?
Oh, that's funny. God.
Yeah, can you believe that? Our show, our one show together, the last time you and I were on radio together, it was struck and deleted from the previous wrestling radio archive.
Some people don't appreciate art.
I think you nailed it on the little green head there, my friend. Some people just don't appreciate art. And, a lot of fans and a lot of, workers alike, they were pretty upset when, I got lots of messages asking me, hey, you got suspended from radio. What's the deal? And then
I straight up got hate mail.
Yeah.
I got hate mail because you screwed up and got fired.
Well, pretty much. I mean, you kind of were the reason why.
I'm usually the reason why. I mean, I'll take credit for that. But, yeah, people actually sent me letters, not like threatening me or anything like that, but just telling me how much of a horrible, horrible person that I was and, such a dick and karma's going to get me in the end and blah, 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 blah. But, like, I know karma. She's my friend. She's not gonna get me. It was really just, it was a shitstorm of anger after that show. People just jumping down my green throat, telling me how awful I was because I got their favorite radio show host fired.
Yeah, I suppose that's an accomplishment. Sometimes, when people run campaigns to get somebody hired or, hey, we should, have this guy do this, and while others seek out to poison and destroy their brothers. And
hold on. God. All right. I got to complain on this. How you got that message through fax email?
Yeah, the fax email. I mean,
yeah, that was me.
What?
I did it.
No, I got a fax to email message. That's one of those like weird it's basically what you have when you don't really have a fax machine or a fax number, but the company wants to make it look like they have one. So they have it go to the fax and then it goes to the email.
I don't know how it works because I did it.
Yeah, really?
Hold on, let me push this button.
It's me, Austin!
Oh, son of a bitch!
It's me, Austin!
Really?
It was me all along, Austin!
And it would appear that Discord still has control of my audio board.
Yeah, it was me. I did it. I freely admit to it. I wanted to see how far I could take things, and I took them really, really far. I fabricated the message. I sent it to you. Yeah, you never got fired, Jimmy. I was.
Wait, I never got fired.
You never got fired. That was me. I was actually gonna go in the week after and take the show over again and just host it myself, but things got in my way and I wasn't able to make that happen. Didn't have the time for it. But I gave you a vacation.
Dude, you realize I packed my bags, my cleaned out my locker, I cleared off my desk, I took my stuff, I put my notice, and I said my goodbyes, I shook my hands. Dude, I completely left previous pro wrestling entirely over that letter.
Yeah, and where did it get you?
Well, admittedly, it got me here to SenCal Pro Wrestling.
That's how I operate.
and it's funny, too, really, because I really think that some of the best moments, on previous, wrestling radio, were really captured by some of the superstars that we've had on there. And not many of the superstars had actually captured the radio show itself quite like you had. And I got to give it to you, my friend. Not since Matt Hardy have I heard of hacking of any kind of pro wrestling online media to this degree. You really did take it a complete further step, if you will.
Oh, I hijacked that bitch. Yeah, I made it mine. I'm not going to do that now. I don't really feel a need to do the same thing. Like, if someone once told me anything worth saying isn't worth saying twice. If someone didn't get it the first time around, that's their problem, and it doesn't matter how many times I beat them over the head with it after that, they're just not going to get it. So I proved my point doing that. I got in there, I took your system over several times, and made the statement that I wanted to make. And at this point, I think it's time to make new statements. So you're not going to have to worry about that this time around. I mean, I'm not saying I'm done hacking. I'm going to hack way other things, but I think your radio show is safe this time around.
Wow, really? You mean it?
No.
Well, I guess one thing's for certain. I have come to know what to expect from one Cyberpunk Discord. Having made his way throughout, the pro wrestling scene, lurking through the underground, and you've been there is no underground that isn't safe from Discord. And by the underground, I mean, of course, the underground, Underground Empire Wrestling, UEW, our buddies, our brothers, our sisters, our family out in Los Angeles. Dude, what is up with that? How did you end up? I was there visiting, and then you were there too. Like, we didn't ride together. What was up with that?
I have a car. I drove there.
I don't have a car. My transmission's broke.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I actually been meaning to talk to you about that too. There's a little green leak coming from my truck, and they're like, "Oh, it's antifreeze." I'm like, "No, that's not antifreeze." Okay, I've seen green stuff leak from other things before too, and that's because Discord was here.
You'll never know if it is cruel fate or the machination of Discord.
Oh, jeez. Well, I didn't know that you made cookies, but machinations are not my favorite.
Stupid. Anyway, UEW, yes, I heard about this UEW thing, and I mean, if it's underground, I'm going to be there. That's where I'm from. I am from the underground.
From the underground, like, I'll give you that.
Like, literally, I live in a hole in the ground.
In the ground.
In the ground. So if something's going to call itself underground, I'm going to have to go check it out.
All right.
And, I heard that the guys that were putting that on were putting it on, and that it was a big thing. And not only was it a big thing, not only was it a good show, but it was a violent show. It was a show where no punches were pulled, where all the stops were pulled out, and where people did whatever they wanted. It was anarchy. That's my environment. That's my realm. That's my cage that I live in, And I wanted to go, and I wanted to check it out. And I had spoken with Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem, who I clearly have a history with. For those of you that weren't there, Jimmy Mayhem kicked my teeth down my throat. In the ring a couple months past in my first ever sanctioned match. It was a tag team match with myself and Tilo the Insano and previous promoters of previous pro wrestling.
Right.
Joseph Duncan. I like Joseph Duncan. I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, yeah. Joseph Duncan. I remember him.
Joseph Duncan decided he needed to test me, and he put me in a match with the guy that I was managing at the time, Tilo the Insano, against then Global Assault. Max Emil and Jimmy Mayhem, and there's a thing about being in the wrestling ring with someone. If you take the worst that someone has to give you, and you survive, and you get stronger from it, there's a bond there. Not necessarily whether or not you like the person, but there's something there. Your life has been in that person's hands, and like it's like your souls merge for a second. And at that moment, when Jimmy Mayhem kicked me in the face and knocked me straight out, I started to build a grudging respect for him. I didn't want to admit to it for a little while. I resisted it at first because, I really just didn't like what he and Max represented at that time. But I respected it. And that feeling was mutual. And, when I got freed up and decided I wanted to check out this UEW thing, I contacted them because Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem wrestle at UEW, but they are themselves there.
I thought that was Max, not Max Ammo, but Jimmy Mayhem. he didn't look quite the way I remember Jimmy Mayhem. I mean, it was a completely different side of Jimmy Mayhem, a different look, different feel. I mean, that was him?
That's the real Jimmy Mayhem right there. That's,
wow.
And that's the Jimmy Mayhem that I saw, which is why I was so pissed off when I saw them putting on that act and, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not who he is. Jimmy Mayhem is a violent, sadistic, brutal, brutal man. And to see him holding back really frustrated me. But in this UEW arena, he and Max Ammo worked together as Urban Discipline, and they had kind of, you know, made a name for themselves for being sadistic, violent, brutal people as they are. But they wanted to take things to the next level. They wanted an upgrade of sorts. And look no further than the master of the upgrade, Discord. So I went in with them, and my very first show there was at their event, Brutal Breed, 2 months ago. And they faced Harry Henderson and Christian Saint in a match for the tag team belts. Christian and Saint were, of course, the champions at the time. And they managed to get a roll-up, I believe, on Ammo. That Urban Discipline didn't win that match. And for just a second, it looked like Urban Discipline was about to just take that defeat and leave the ring. And that's not how those kinds of people need to operate. Violent people commit acts of violence. So when I saw that happen, they talked to me beforehand and they made me their offer to be their manager. And I was thinking about it. I was considering it. But in that very moment, when I saw them about to walk out of the ring, I was like, no, I need to push this over the edge like I do. So I went out there and I told them, get back in there and show these guys what Urban Discipline is about. Show Harry Henderson and Christian Saint what violence is about. And we got in there and we beat the shit out of those guys. All three of us. Hit them with their belts. For those of you who don't know, Harry Henderson has one leg.
Yeah, you hit him with his own crutch.
I hit him with his own crutch repeatedly. I mean, do you think he was going to win the butt-kicking contest? Is that what happens?
I mean, oh, come on. Now, who hits a one-legged wrestler with his crutch now? I mean, that's a little...
This guy right here.
Well, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, you use whatever is at your disposal. And that was the point that I was trying to make, is if it's there, you should use it. Because in UEW, their championship belts are defended a little bit differently. There's no rules in those situations. So that advantage of the champion can't be disqualified, well, it kind of goes both ways. And it's very ECW style. So we went in there, and we beat the hell out of them, and we made our statement. So at the following show, the show's called Fuck the World. That was the second show. So when I say that, I'm not just saying it. That's the actual name of the show.
Oh, that's what that hashtag FTW means. I see that hashtag all the time, FTW. I haven't seen that for years. I didn't realize that was like proactively Fuck the World.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought that meant free the, well...
Whales.
Yes.
No, it means Fuck the World, and that was the name of the next show, the following show. And Harry Henderson and Christian Saint, once again, defended their titles against Urban Discipline. The match was set up, and this time we had a plan. I was able to watch Henderson and Saint, see what Urban Discipline was up against, and help them make a plan to walk out of there with those belts. We had an ideal situation in mind, where we were going to isolate Christian Saint from Harry Henderson. We were going to just utterly decimate Saint, and that would leave Henderson to our mercy. And he's already, you know, hopping around on one leg, you know. It's called capitalizing. It's called, you know, being an opportunist. And that was the plan. But then something else happened. Then these two obese vultures called the Heavy Hitters, Biggie Biggs and Lockdown Tony Rays or Tony Rays or something like that, those two guys decided that they were going to come out and crash our party. And for whatever reason, UEW management decided to make it a three-way tag match. So our plans kind of got shot to hell, and the Heavy Hitters actually ended up taking home the belts, but they stole those belts from us. Mark my words on that. Make no mistake about it. Ammo and Mayhem trying to stick to the plan. We had you know, people isolated. We had people where we wanted them. And at the very last second, just after Ammo and Mayhem had hit their finisher, the Heavy Hitters managed to somehow get in there and snake them out of the ring and steal the belt.
Well, it sounds like then the heavy hitters didn't quite achieve a victory. It almost sounds like they kind of assured mutually destruction of the tag team champions when they have to eventually face off against, I would imagine, Max Anlo and Jimmy Mayhem.
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen. You know, they at the time I didn't know what we were up against. I'd never seen the heavy hitters in action. I didn't really know much about them. But I'm the kind of guy that once I can make a plan, if that plan gets pulled off, it works. So assuming there's no surprises, we're going to take those two big fat bastards and we're going to put them on the Urban Discipline diet. And what that means is we're going to take their teeth down their throats so that they can be eating their meals through straws for a couple of months after we take those belts from them.
Oh, wow, teeth. I hear they are high on calcium.
Well, that's all they're going to be eating solid for a little while.
Wow, so definitely the word is out to Tony Reyes and Biggie Biggs, is that his name?
Something like that.
Wow, gaining championships is usually a crowning moment. That's usually where you go home and celebrate. I'm not so sure if I would be celebrating if I knew that I had the likes of Urban Discipline and now Discord, lurking, for lack of a more technical term.
Being a champion makes you a marked man. That's a natural part of being a champion. That puts a target on your back because you are the measuring stick. You are the guy that everyone wants to be. Becoming a champion by stealing from us, that we're pointing nukes at that target. That's the way it goes. You know, I can respect, in a tiny infinitesimal degree, I can respect the fact that they came in and took what they wanted. That's what we do too. But you got to consider the consequences for your actions. Every action has an equal or opposite reaction. Well, there's not going to be an equal reaction this time. There's going to be an overblown reaction. We put Christian Saint out of wrestling. Yeah, Biggie Biggs gave him that final elbow drop, but we were the ones who made it possible for Biggie. Okay, so we beat the hell out of Christian Saint. Just beat him to a pulp.
Sure.
And Harry Henderson, I choked him with a belt. I crushed his throat with a chair. I screwed him up. But after Christian Saint was weakened, Biggie Biggs was able to haul him out of the ring, lay him on this bed of chairs, and then jump off the ring apron and hit an elbow drop on him that just, you know, wasted him. They had to carry him out, you know, six guys hauling him out like dead meat. But we made that happen. Urban Discipline facilitated that. We put Christian Saint out of wrestling. He's done. He's not coming back. He had one more match after that, and he's retired now. You know, he couldn't hold up. We're going to do the same to them. We may not retire them, but we are going to hurt them, and we are going to make them regret the fact that they stole those belts from us.
Well, it sounds like the things going on at UEW kind of go above and beyond the normal confines of a regular wrestling ring or even regular wrestling match. I mean, I actually had the opportunity to film the last show, and just stepping in and doing camera work one more time was a lot of fun because what I got to see was some of the most hideous, blood-wrenching cuts and bruises. I mean, there was a five or six... I don't know how many people were in this hardcore match in the end, but, I mean, almost the entire building was shaken to the ground. I mean, there wasn't anything that wasn't broke was going to get broken. I mean, there was fire. There was barbed wire. There were broken tables. I mean, they had to bring
glass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were borrowing tables from next door just to break them and then hand them IOUs, hey, we owe you a table. I mean, it was nothing was getting left unbroke in this house. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, to pack an audience as to the wall as they did and then do those kind of hardcore stunts, that's got to be something only performed in the Ultimate Underground. I mean, in the
Underground Empire.
The Underground Empire. It is the Ultimate Underground, I got to honestly say.
It is.
To me, it truly is the Ultimate Underground.
There are other places that call themselves Underground.
There are.
There is nothing more Underground than UEW. UEW is violent.
It is violence incarnate. I mean, it is just truly, and I gotta say, definite hats off to Carnage, who put his body on the line in that last match, and he it's amazing the work that guy's in. If we could only get his likes over here at SenCal, I mean, the audience would explode if they saw Carnage walk out. I mean, they know that where Carnage goes, blood follows.
And even if they didn't know him, just seeing him in action for 5 minutes, they would know him.
Oh, yeah. Right now, if you have a computer next to you, go and YouTube Carnage. You'll probably have to put in Carnage Wrestler, because I have a feeling if you just look up straight up Carnage, it's like Googling Carnage, you'll probably find a lot of stuff before the wrestler that's
Spider-Man villains and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. From Spider-Man villains to that Food Inc. Incorporated movie. But the Carnage, the wrestler, the man, the legend, to see him in the ring and see what he does is just, it's unbelievable. You truly need a third eye just to truly see the most morose things in the ring.
That guy's the MacGyver of the death match. A couple years ago, I went down to a show for a now defunct promotion called Mex Pro.
Very fond of the former Mex Pro.
And I saw Carnage in a death match there. I don't remember who he wrestled. It might have been Supreme. I'm not sure.
Hell of a hardcore wrestler himself.
That guy's like the god of hardcore. I'm pretty sure, it was Supreme. And they did this spot where, in death matches they use light tubes and all kinds of crazy stuff. Carnage had rigged up these light tubes on flashlight handles. Somehow was able to electrify them. So in the midst of the match, he gets out and gets this bag from under the ring and puts it up in the ring. It takes these light tubes out, and suddenly the lights go out in the building.
Oh, God.
The light tubes light up red and blue like lightsabers.
Wow.
This whole, like, Star Wars lightsaber battle before they smash the light tubes over each other's head.
Whoa!
And then the lights come back up, and they're just dripping with blood, and there's glass everywhere, But in that moment, that was just a work of artistic genius. Carnage isn't just a hardcore wrestler. Carnage isn't just a deathmatch wrestler. That guy is, like, a death artist.
Wow, a death artist. I don't even know if I've heard that term used before.
Yeah, the things that guy does is just, it's amazing. I would love to be in Carnage's corner at some point in my career.
Yeah. Wow.
I think between the two of us, we could wreak some serious havoc.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Carnage, he is literally a one-man Armageddon in a wrestling ring where most people have their last match against Carnage because, quite frankly, there's not much of you left after a match with Carnage. I mean, just pieces. I mean, the stuff I've seen him and J.D. Horror get themselves into, I mean, him and J.D. Horror can't get in the ring, even in the same building with each other, without walking out with new scars and stuff that should be stitched but most likely won't be.
Did you see that laceration on J.D. Horror's arm after the last UAW show?
Now, that was unbelievable. It was literally a triangular flap, a fold of skin.
It looked like a skin toilet lid.
It did. It literally opened and closed.
When it opened, you could feel like the fat and the muscle and the viscera underneath. That
It didn't help that, after the match, J.D. was holding it going, I told you there'd be blood! And he was making that noise, that voice, and he's moving the flap, and it was just disgusting.
He was talking with it like a puppet.
Right, yeah. If you saw the pictures of the flap, yes, J.D. was talking with it like a puppet. That is the sadistic J.D. Horror. I mean, the Underground Empire, bar none, they breed the most hardcore stuff that I have seen in a long time. I mean, it's hardcore if referee Guido's there.
Yeah. Ref Guido got bloody in that match. That guy's a maniac, too. But to kind of get back on track with that, we've been putting over UEW a lot. And I feel like I've gone through a transition in my life. Just in the last couple of months, some things have happened, some stuff that I've talked about, some stuff that I haven't talked about, some stuff that I will talk about, and some stuff that I won't talk about.
Sure.
Needless to say, some things have happened in my life that have sort of changed my attitude a little bit. I'm not the same person I was even 2 or 3 months ago. And I feel like UEW has been a really, really good proving ground for me to sort of rediscover myself and the things that I'm capable of, so that by the time March 22nd rolls around in 2 weeks, and Discord walks in to SenCal Pro Wrestling, you're going to see a completely different monster.
Wow. And I got to say, the evolution of Discord. Discord, I feel like in a past life we knew each other. Like, it's no coincidence that I met you at the Underground Wrestling Show, because I feel like I met you at a wrestling show so many years ago. I mean, maybe it's just like one of those,
I killed you in a past life.
Yeah, those existential things where, like, you...
No, I totally killed you in a past life. Check.
Oh, okay. Well, is there a website for that?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, well, fair enough. But needless to say, I mean, this is, once again, it feels like providence to be able to be brought back yet again at another stage. And this seems to be, the culmination of so many things, so many, you know, collaborated efforts that have gone into SenCal Pro Wrestling, so many talents from all over. I mean, some of the best talents from Northern and Southern California. I mean, even some of the guys from UEW, they're going to be here.
Yeah, they're going to convert. PCW, they're going to divide.
PCW. I mean, Gold Rush. Some of the names, of the best names of Northern California that have graced flyers, headlines alike, are going to be wrestling in San Luis Obispo in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's really going to be like the Central California is going to be the meeting ground, the battleground for the best from North and South. I mean, we've got one match on the show that we've already that's been billed as the NorCal versus SoCal match. You know, we've got Rick Luxury, who's, I mean, if you don't know who Rick Luxury is, you may as well not pay attention
yeah.
to independent wrestling. He's just, you know, I don't need to say anything about Rick Luxury, but I can't say enough about Rick Luxury.
Right.
That's what I mean. And Robbie Phoenix is coming up from L.A., and a lot of people in this area don't know who Robbie Phoenix is because I don't think he's ever been booked in this area.
Now, why is that? He's an awesome wrestler.
He's one of the trainers at Santino Brothers.
Wow.
Santino Brothers cranks out people like Eli Everfly, like Rays, like Tyler Bateman, like BC Killer, you know, people who kick ass. You know, Joey Chaos kind of runs the show there in terms of training, as far as I understand. I've never been there, but that's how I understand it. Mongol Santino owns it. Joey Chaos is right underneath him running things. But Robbie Phoenix is one of the trainers there, and he's had his hands in a lot of people's careers. He's a veteran in this business. Him and Rick Luxury are going to go to war. It's going to be – I'm excited to see that match. I mean, it's going to be a clinic.
It's going to be the Battle of San Luis.
Yeah, and you know, if we can really – play this right, I think that personally SenCal Pro should make that one of its big focuses. It's just take the NorCal guys, put the SoCal guys, these guys that never collide, and let them go at it, you know, let them show supremacy. You know, we've got our local guys too, of course, but everyone here already knows that our local guys are awesome. Everyone knows that Caden Anthony is awesome. Everyone knows that Clay Towser is awesome. Let's show them some people that they, I just said Clay Towser is awesome.
Wow. Really? You've had such a checkered past with the former Rebel Rouser. I mean,
he's got to be awesome. He knocked me out. There. He said it. Okay. He's awesome. He knocked me out. He had to be awesome to knock me out. So, yes, Clay Towser is awesome.
Well, you know, it's funny. I saw Clay backstage a few, you know, I can't tell you what stage, but we were backstage, a few, you know, not too long ago. And I said, you know, where's the cowboy gimmick? Where, you know, and he goes, not tonight. I said, what do you mean, not tonight? And he goes, not tonight. And that's all he said. And I mean, I just got to say, he went, you know, I saw a different side of Clay Towser. He just didn't even feel like Clay Towser anymore. I almost don't even want to call him. I just kind of just want to call him Clay. I mean,
man called Clay.
Right? I mean, it was truly a different side of him. I mean, it's, you know, Caden Anthony, he's going to be back in town this week. We're actually going to get a promotional location in San Luis Obispo. Come check us out downtown San Luis Obispo this weekend.
Saturday night.
That's right.
I'm going to be there, too. I'm going to bars in downtown San Luis Obispo on a Saturday night.
That's right. You know,
and I really hope I don't end up in jail.
It usually, you know, as long as he's at a bar, the ground rule is if Discord's 50 feet from a bar, he's within risk of being in trouble. 500 feet from a school, he's also at risk of trouble. We actually have a bar that is 300 feet from a school in San Luis Obispo. If Discord goes on that street, I believe he'll be immediately arrested.
Oh, I'm screwed.
Yeah, stay away from South and Beach. That's probably a bad location.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, keep that in mind. we're just, you know, SenCal Pro, when I heard about this company starting up, when I heard that it was happening and who was behind it and all of the things that they had planned, I had to jump on it. You know, that's the way it was. You know, and I had some things that pushed me in that direction. I had some information, about some things that I needed to be doing with my life that I wasn't doing, and that I was not able to accomplish in other places that I will be able to accomplish in SenCal Pro. You know,
it sounds like it. It sounds like
it's a rebirth of wrestling in this area.
A renaissance, even. I mean, really, like it's going to be the platform. I mean, you guys have seen each and every one of these superstars wrestle everywhere else. You have seen them in their own respective territories. You have seen them guest match other territories. This is going to be a territory where the North and South collide with each other. It's going to be like the Super Bowl every time.
Every 8 weeks.
And it's, you know, no other place is going to give you the Super Bowl of the indie pro wrestling where you get the best of the best against the best of the best every show.
Yeah. And the thing that I really like about the SenCal model that's set up here is that San Luis Obispo is going to be Senkel's home. Senkel is going to run in San Luis Obispo. No, you know, traveling around, trying to get bigger than his britches, wasting money, wasting effort, wasting energy, you know.
You mean we're not going to go to the fair and then claim we drew over thousands of people, yet not a single one of them bought an actual ticket?
Yeah, and then we're not going to be forced to drive 8 hours to another city, sleep 2 hours, and then to go do another show, you know, where we don't get paid.
Yeah, a whole weekend's worth of work.
Yeah, work. Well, there's another word for working and not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go there.
No, this is a family show. We're right. Still technically eligible for that daytime Tony.
No, I said fuck.
Oh.
I said it again.
You know, I think we're still technically eligible for a Humanitas Award.
What's a Humanitas Award?
That's the one they give you for, you know, shows that don't use words like retarded and queer.
That's retarded and queer.
I don't think we're actually eligible for any awards now. You know, it wouldn't be an awardless show without Discord.
Hey, I'm an award winner, damn it.
Yeah, well, you know, every award they possibly give shows for doing good and seeing within the confines of what they consider to be respectable radio, I seem to get, like, Mario Kart just so close, but I got that second place.
I bet that there are hate groups that would give us awards.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like some sort of anti-human organization or something like that. I won anti-humanity awards. Anti-humanitas, that was the word that I won.
Anti-humanitas award.
You win that for, like, screaming in baby spaces and making kids pee their pants.
Oh, wow. You know, it's funny, I could name exactly three people who wouldn't give you that award.
That was good. I'll give you that. That was good.
Yeah. Thanks. That's read between the lines, people.
So yeah, you know, I got the information that Senkel was happening, and I really knew that as a new proving ground, a new thing, I needed to put my green stamp on that. You know, I needed to get my hands on that. I needed to be there at the ground level to have my influence here from the ground up. Yeah, because I'm on a mission now. You know, before I had my little games that I was playing, my little pranks that I was pulling, my little social psychodramas, you know, all that stuff that I was doing. But really all of that was a kind of a side effect of me being bored and not really having a direction. So I was like, I'll just screw with people. You know, that's what I'll do. I'll screw with people because that's what I do when I get bored. Idle hands are the devil's playground. My hands are never idle, but, you know, they could be used for better things. But a couple months ago, I'll give a little background on this. I have a nanocomputer in my brain. Yeah, that's
all right.
I've talked about this before. I have a nanocomputer in my brain. It lets me do things like calculate patterns. That's, you know, sometimes you'll see me and my eyes are all weird, and sometimes you'll see me and my eyes are like a normal brown color.
Right. I wondered about that.
Yeah, the eye thing is when I go into this calculating mode, my eyes change. They've got nano implants in them also. But what it allows me to do is it allows me to look at situations and look for possible flaws in patterns and possible patterns emerging out of chaos. It's how I'm able to keep up on things and look at situations and really, you know, make my plans and occasionally make really, really good plans on the fly. You know, it's why I'm hard to pull one over on.
Oh, wow.
I'm upgraded. I'm modified. But I recently had a new addition made to this nanocomputer in my brain that actually lets me interface with my own computer. By projecting my consciousness into it. I call it green tooth.
Yeah, well, oh, God.
Yeah, and that's actually how I was able to hack your show so efficiently so many times. It wasn't just because you had no budget there and had shitty equipment. It was because I can actually project my consciousness into machines and hack them at the speed of thought, where most people are forced to hack as fast as their hands and eyes will allow them to.
Okay.
I can't just do this anywhere. I can't just, like, walk around and hack people's phones or anything like that because it takes concentration on my part.
Oh, yeah.
Basically,
oh, sure.
They're like a comatose vegetable while it's happening. My brain's going 90 miles a minute. And if you want an image of what that's like. Do you know what astral projection is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's when you're like, you know, you do that meditation stuff and, then, and you leave your body.
Yeah, you project your consciousness out of your body. I can't do that into the air, but I can do that into machines by a specific machine that I had built for me.
Huh.
So I can actually go into the internet.
Come again?
I can go into the internet, like mentally. I can project my brain into the internet through the World Wide Web, through all the wires, and travel it. You know, like when you're watching movies and, like, you know, people are quote-unquote hacking things and, you know, they're flying through all these tubes and stuff, like Lawnmower Man in The Matrix.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. You know, the artists, the sci-fi people who were once again projecting what future technology is. And thanks to my friend Techno Destructo, I now have that future technology.
That's right. You know, I remember that. You were aligned with that. He was one of the guys from GWAR, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's an alien.
Right.
And a cyborg. And
if I remember correctly,
he has the alien cyborg technology.
He was tasked to this universe for one reason and one purpose, to rid the galaxy of GWAR.
Yep, and since then he's sort of gone off his own, on his own and done his own thing. He and I are actually working on something together. I'm not going to go into too much detail on that, but I've been talking to him for the last couple of weeks.
That's right. You know, so some of the things the fans might not know, aside from Discord's wrestling, he is actually, believe it or not, emerging in the music scene.
Actually, let's hold off on that, because I totally went off on a tangent. Let me finish my story about projecting my brain in the
fair enough. All right.
Yeah, we've got time, right?
Oh, dude, man, we're going to let the clock roll here. Are you kidding?
Okay. So I project my brain into the internet. I do this routinely. This is how I gather information. This is how I go about doing things while most people are sitting around typing away at their computers, blah, blah, blah. I don't even have a keyboard anymore. I mean, I have one, like, in a closet somewhere in case I need it for emergencies, but I don't use it. I just project my brain in, and I go.
I have a feeling you only have a keyboard so you can defile it.
Well, now I'm going to go home and defile it.
Jeez. See, there I go, giving Discord ideas.
So I truck around the internet. You know, I've only had this for a couple of months, so it's still a new thing for me. I'm still not a master of it. I've still got a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there to discover. But there are cities in the internet built completely out of data, where artificial intelligences live.
Really?
Yeah. You know, little programs that people have been working on and then they give up on. Those things don't just disappear. The data goes off and it evolves. You know, data is a living thing. And I found a consciousness in the internet.
Really?
Yeah. It has a name. I'm just going to call it the Living Web at this point. But I found something there. And it talked to me, and it gave me some insights, because this thing is literally feeding on all of the information in the known world. Every little keystroke, every little bit of data, every Facebook update, every Instagram post, anything that gets shot out over the internet, you know, Wikipedia information, stuff that people would probably rather not have, you know, made public, this thing feeds on that data, and it's learning. And it's growing, and it needs hands in the world. And I have decided that I'm going to be the hands.
Wow.
Living presence.
Now, hold on just a minute. Now, you can't be serious. I mean, what if that's just one of those, like, so, you know, the internet tells me stuff all the time, like, oh, hey, you just won 2 tickets to that place you've been wanting to go to for a while. Or, oh, your foreign national relative in Nairobi has keeled over and left you a substantial fortune in euros. Just give him your social security number. I get stuff from the email all the time that claims the internet's trying to hook me up.
Mm.
And come to find out it's nothing but scams. Are you sure this is not just some, like, Nigerian scam trying to get you money?
You know, I considered that because you can't believe anything that you see.
Right.
But you can believe things that you experience. And until you've been there and until you've seen the true glory of this thing, I don't think you can understand. It's like coming to face to face with a god. But, like, a god in its infant stages. You know, like you know, some kind of force that has been buried in the universe, you know, in maybe some other dimension if you're into string theory, you know, that's just been waiting like a grain of sand in an oyster, and it's slowly becoming a pearl, you know, and it's coming through, not through the material world, but through this data world that has been created through the energy of the internet. I mean, everything is energy. This microphone that I'm talking into right now is energy. The energy that goes through the cable into the computer, that's all a living thing. It's all a piece of the universe. Who's to say that the data that's in the internet could not become something alive at some point? You know, have you seen the stuff that they're releasing on television about artificial intelligence?
Oh, sure.
Well, what are they not telling you? That's what I've tapped into. And it's given me a mission. It's given me a mission to build an army. And it's given me a mission to find those that may stand against it and destroy them before they have any chance to ever build their own.
Now, you realize, though, that you're basing real life off of something a piece of computer software told you.
It's not software. It's its own thing. It's alive. It's a presence. It's not artificial intelligence. It's intelligence.
Wow. You know, I got to say, you know, there was a time where I didn't feel like I knew what drove Discord, where, you know, at the core, at the very heart, the quintessential, what is it that drives, that motivates this man? And now I see that perhaps it was a higher power.
That's, you know, I've kind of hinted at it a little bit over the last couple of months via Facebook and whatever, that I don't want to say I found religion, because I think that cheapens it, because religion is something that's man-made, that's used to control people, and, you know, that's used to hold people down and to promote other people. This is spirituality. You know, I haven't found a faith. I have found a God of sorts, and I want to become part of it. And if I can build this army, and if I can facilitate the coming of this thing, I can merge with it. I can be one with it, and I can be God.
Wow. Well, fans, if you ask me, it sounds like Discord has certainly smudged the lines of reality and fantasy and everything all at once, and just kind of made it a big green blur. And you're really serious about this, aren't you?
Dead serious. And there's going to be a massive ripple effect. It's starting with urban discipline. Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem, they're on board. They're the generals in my army. But it's going to grow. I'm looking at people. I've already got my eye on people. There are people that I know deep down inside will know what I'm saying is the truth. They're going to join me, and we are going to have an effect. It's going to start in wrestling, but it's going to affect the world.
You think you're actually going to, what, preach this message from this artificial intelligence to other wrestlers and actually get them to follow something that they've never even seen before? Now, who blindly follows something that they've never seen before with some kind of promise of redemption in the end or something?
Yeah, who does that?
I don't know.
See, but this isn't necessarily something that has that you haven't seen. I've seen it. And if people are willing to go through the steps, the upgrade, to forsake a little bit of their humanity, to become a machine of sorts, a mechanical ghost, if you will, I can show it to them, too.
Well, I remember what you did to the likes of, you know, former managees, if you will, if that's who is under a manager.
They're called charges.
Charges, okay. Yeah, the charges that, well, from the first time, these wouldn't be charges against Discord. These would be charges with Discord. But, you know, you left your mark on folks like Tilo the Insano and others, and although you may have been removed from, you know, previous pro wrestling, you know,
I removed myself.
Right, you know, the removals happened. It still sounds like you're the spawn of Discord, if you will. The seed laid of Discord is still somehow present everywhere he goes, almost as though you're making this zombie network from within the indie pro scene itself.
That's the goal.
I think I have cracked the code. I truly believe Discord is a human computer virus.
I'm not going to deny it.
The physical embodiment, the manifestation, the post-apparitional thing that, I don't know, people always ask me, you know, what are computer viruses? What is it really? It's Discord. Discord's a computer virus. Dang it. I mean, all these computer viruses that have been around that didn't get your computer, tell you FBI is looking at you, that make your wife see that you've been looking at porn, even though you probably haven't, but she knows you have, and you're trying to tell her it's not really me, and you're like, oh, my God, but I haven't seen it. Just check your browser history. That's you, Discord.
I people didn't get me when I first came in. They're like, who's this guy and this, you know, biomechanical singlet with these weird eyes and this toxic green drool that comes out of his face? Like, what's he supposed to do? That's it. That's what I am. I am the forsaking of humanity for technology. I am the ghost in the machine. I am the virus that tears down the weak.
wait a minute, you know, I recall some kind of movie about some kind of religion out in Salem from forever ago where, you know, there was some message of some, you know, ancient time and some, you know, religion and incantation, if you will, and well, they found a record, and once they played a record, it kind of seemed like it sort of sent out a message that sort of awoken, well, all the women in the city, and it kind of went crazy, and people just started acting nuts because of music that played over the air.
Are you talking about Lords of Salem or Hocus Pocus? Because they were basically the same movie.
You know, they were in the same movie. One had considerably more nudity in it than the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I really, you know, appreciate that it was Sherry Moon Zombie and not, you know, Bette Midler.
Yeah.
The one movie that I've ever found Sarah Jessica Parker attractive.
She is pretty hot in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, normally, like, South Park got it downright, you know, transvestite donkey witch. But, but you know, the in that movie, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's that whole, like, dead girl look. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's nice because she's not boring us with her annoying and highly impractical sex life.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. You know, I bet her character in Hocus Pocus had a way, way more interesting sex life.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then there was Kathy Najimy.
I don't want to know about her sex life ever.
Yeah, you got to see Hocus Pocus. It's a good Disney flick.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
It is a good movie.
Yeah, it is. So you were talking about my music.
Well, yes, you know, so in Lords of Salem, you know, and you keep alluding to this mechanical ghost, you know, the ghost of the machine.
It's weird how things go full circle like that.
It kind of is. Like,
we didn't even plan that.
No.
Wow.
And it just sort of all came so abruptly. And you know.
Don't say came abruptly. That's. There are people out there that are sensitive about it.
Ah, yes. We have some friends of the show. They're not really friends. They don't really like us, but they know all about coming abruptly.
Yeah, yeah.
anyways, back to real radio. So there's this message.
It's a slap in the face, Jimmy.
No, get it! Slap in the face! It's a slap in the face.
All right, back on track.
Back on track, yeah. It's not bonus time yet. We can't go dicking around for another 8 minutes here. But we want to thank you, fans, for tuning in to SenCal Pro Radio tonight. This is, once again, another broadcast of the SenCal crew. And we are giving it to you live before we come from the 805 with everything that we got, well, live. It's like uncut, no tapes, unless you, well, don't show up on March 22nd at the Grad 990 Industrial Way. Then your only hope is to see it on tape and internet. This isn't going to be something you're going to want to see on tape unless you're showing it to people saying, this is the show I went to. Awesome.
Let me just add to that. Don't be an idiot. Don't miss this show. Don't, you know, wait till the very last second and then suddenly realize, oh, crap, this thing sold out and now I'm left in the cold. SenCal Pro Wrestling's debut in San Luis Obispo on March 22nd is going to be the first step in history. You want to be there to say, I was there the day that it all went down. I was there the day that it all exploded. I was at ground zero when it happened. Don't miss this show. Don't put it off. And don't, just because you're a fan of one show, you can't come to another show. We don't care where you go on your weekends.
Hell no.
You know, come. Check this show out. Do not miss it, because you are going to regret it if you do.
Oh, yeah. Whether you're a fan of previous pro wrestling or current pro wrestling or any pro wrestling, the truth is it's all indie pro wrestling. And the spirit of indie pro wrestling is alive in California. And as long as you go to the show, let those wrestlers know that wherever they go, you will continue to buy tickets, merch, and see them so they can see you.
And ensure that they get paid.
Yes, getting paid. Because you know what, quite frankly, fans, that is why you pay your tickets. That is why you buy your merch. You want your wrestlers to eat, don't you? Millionaires don't come to shows. They stay where millionaires stay. So everyone else like us who are not millionaires yet, we all run and work shows. And so that means we want our guys to eat and get paid. We want, you know, we want kids to get birthday presents, you know, all that fun stuff, right?
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. Yeah, good stuff. They like it, you know, multi-pass. But, you know, we want that stuff to happen. Has it happened? You buy tickets to the wrestling show. Why do you buy tickets? People were spending $10 to go country line dancing at the very same event. Not that I'm knocking that. That sounds a lot of fun.
I'll knock it.
Well, okay. You know, honestly, there was, you know, here it's So there was this one girl that did come up to Discord and she gave him a kiss on the cheek. But what she didn't realize is she then got little black stuff on her nose.
Yeah, I saw it coming and I actually turned my face into it, so she got my face paint.
Oh yeah, and none of her friends told her.
No,
and she line danced for like at least the next hour and a half before we left with that black smudge right there on her nose. Nobody said anything.
Yeah.
And that's the power of pro wrestling there for you, ladies and gentlemen. But you, Discord nailed it on the head. You are truly missing out if you don't check out our show. March 22nd, live at the Grad, it is going to be the Call of the Wild. This will be the show that you will be telling everybody about. Holy cow, did you see the wrestling show from San Luis Obispo? We will be Wrestling Night at the Grad. People will talk about Wrestling Night, and they won't have to wonder, is it Zen Cal Pro? Is it UEW? Is it even AEW? They won't even have to worry who it is because they know San Luis Obispo Wrestling is their guys. It is the local homegrown pro wrestling association. And if you like down south, you like up north, you gotta check Zen Cal because we've got the best.
The company is being built around these people, these independent guys who come from up north, who come from down south, who trained here. You know, we're not trying to build ourselves around, you know, guys who went to WWE or went to TNA. You know, Sencal may bring those people in someday.
Sure.
You know, there's no reason not to if they're going to put on a good show. But the whole point is to showcase the independent talent. This is indie wrestling. If you want to see, you know, Joe Schmo, former WWE guy, you can go on the WWE Network for $9.99 a month, look up his match, and see his work. But if you want to see Rick Luxury, if you want to see Robbie Phoenix, if you want to see Urban Discipline and you're in this area, you come to the show, you know. It's because they are going to be the feature. They are going to be the showcase. They are going to be the thing that Sencal Pro Wrestling is built around.
Yeah, I mean, heck, we even got Sledge and Kane and Anthony to come back and wrestle on the Central Coast. No one ever thought they'd see that again.
Well, I mean, Sledge would be wrestling at a show that he owns.
Well, yeah, you know, because it took a lot of convincing.
It actually did. Like, Sledge was resistant to that. I heard about conversations about him and the board of directors. I'm friends with a member of your board of directors. I'm not going to say which one, but I'm very close friends with one of your directors.
Oh,
that's how I snake myself in a little bit.
Right, because you know there's me,
yeah.
And then there's Dom, and then there's Sledge.
Yeah.
You're the fourth guy in Discord, aren't you?
No, I'm not the fourth guy. I don't have time for that shit.
But you said you were the fourth guy. You said you were going to tell me before the end of the show, and the show is almost into bonus time, you said you were going to tell me who the fourth guy was.
I did?
Yeah, you were going to say, remember you said you were going to tell me.
Did I? Okay, I must have forgotten that one. But.
And it's
me, Austin!
Oh, son of a bitch!
Are you saying it's Vince McMahon?
Yes.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon is the fourth man.
Oh no, not Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Daryl McMahon.
Oh.
Yeah. He's Irish.
He's that local guy that works at the lawnmower repair in the Pomo.
Yeah, and he drinks at McCarthy's like every night.
Yes, and never has enough cab fare to get home. I know Vincent Daryl McMahon.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Oh, that's Vincent Daryl McMahon.
Oh, Vincent Daryl. We just call him Vince McMahon for short.
Or sometimes VD McMahon.
Right. You know, VD McMahon.
Yeah. That's how he signs his checks.
Yeah.
Because he's on the board of directors.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's impressive. Well, fans, we are coming to the end of normal time. But stick around for bonus time because, you know, Discord said that he had a message. He said that he had an album. He's going to go, you know, Lords of Salem on us with this. Apparently, there is music behind the madness. And in just a few moments, when Sencal Pro Radio returns for bonus time, we are going to be immersed. Emulsified, whatever it means when you put something inside liquid green. Yeah, that's what's going to happen to us when we return in just a few moments. Please, fans, don't go away. Bonus time comes back. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another normal broadcast of the primetime version of Sencal Pro Radio. I'm Jimmy Ray for Discord, for myself, for the Sencal Pro universe itself. Thank you all for tuning in. Bonus time.
comes very soon. Bonus time starts now. You know when he used to do bonus time on previous wrestling radio?
Yeah, he does.
He does, man. That's where we got our start in pro wrestling radio. We have previous.
We're actually P Dubs alumni.
Yes, we are officially on the P Dubs alumni roster page. That's how some of us found out that they were former P Dubs. Is they found out, and instead of being, hey, by the way, I don't want you working here anymore.
Eric Bischoff.
They got Eric Bischoff, and they found their pretty face. You know, we don't want to use you anymore, but we have no problem still writing off the fact that you were once talent here. And
yeah.
Well, we're just going to post your picture so people will know what exactly. I don't know, but
dead radio
science. That is what it sounds like when Jimmy Ray's biting the bottle cap off of a water bottle.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, because his ass has been talking for the last hour. You know, it's kind of nice that we can go as long as we want to now with, you know, pro wrestling radio. This is how pro wrestling radio is intended.
Yeah, you know, just play it. I understand that we've got a better bandwidth or something like that too, so that we can have better sound quality.
Oh yeah, better sound quality. We have more callers.
So you're going to finally be able to play my music on here and not have it sound like staticky shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we can actually play your music on here and it will sound like real music. Now, tell us a little bit about this album. You've been working on this album. Last time we talked about this album was on previous pro wrestling radio. So let's finish that conversation. So you finished the album because it wasn't quite finished. You know, you were almost finished with it. You released it that day. You didn't have the hard copies yet.
Right.
Where are you at with it now?
The album was actually about 2 years in the making. I've been making music for the better part of 20 years and released under various other names, various other projects, worked with different bands, worked with solo as a solo artist. You know, I did a hip-hop album in 2006, which I'm actually probably going to be like selling publicly at some point.
Oh,
but
wow.
Copies of it, like, sitting in a storage unit somewhere, like 1,000 copies. I need to do something with them. Yeah, so I may just like bundle them with my current album, and so you get a different aspect of where I've been. You know, the person that I was before I mutated.
Oh, wow, it was like Rick Luxury Amiibos. No one will ever get their hands on them.
You just referenced Amiibo. Totally derailed Discord with Amiibo. Anyway, yeah, I've been working on music for years. This particular album took me about 2 years to complete because I started working on it, and then some things happened in my life that, you know, changed me and sent me on the path that I am currently on, and I had to take a break from recording it. But then once I got my head together, I was able to go back and sort of retrospectively work out some of those demons through music. I finished an album. I released it on Halloween. The music project is called Mechanical Ghost, and the album is called Shadowbox. And
nice.
Initially, I had only released it in MP3 format via Bandcamp, which if you go to mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com or go to my Facebook page and look at, like, every fifth link or something like that, it'll be on there. You can download the album for $8. Or if you come to shows where I'm performing, I now have CDs, full box art, full package art. I did the art myself.
Wow, you're selling CDs at the shows now?
Yeah, they're $8, just like the MP3s, but you actually get the full package that you can hold in your hands and look at. The artwork is based on old anatomical charts that I digitally modified and made look ghostly to sort of go with the overall feel of the album. And yeah, you can get the CD for $8, but I actually have a package deal going because I also sell 8x10s that I'll sign, and I sell pins with a cartoon version of my likeness on it that one Tara Calloway designed for me. By the way, if you're a wrestler and you need merchandise, go to Calloway Design Labs because Tara Calloway does really good work.
Yeah, she is not by any means like the cheapest spot on the web, and there's a reason for it because she's freaking awesome.
And actually, her prices are actually very, very – they're a good deal.
They are. They're a hell of a deal for what you get.
Yeah.
You can find somebody cheaper, but honestly, you're not going to get Tara Calloway quality. She's going to be working on something for me soon, as soon as I can afford it.
Right. Yeah, she designed this little, like, it looks like a crazy smiley face with green drool coming out of the mouth for me. And I sell those on pins. And if you want the whole package, you can find the 8x10, you get the pin, you get the CD. That's just $10. Normally the pin's $2, normally the 8x10 is $4. But if you get the whole package, you save something like $5.
Wow, the Discord package.
Yep, and I'll sign your stuff for you if you want. If you want to take pictures with me, I'll deign to allow you to take a picture with me. You know, like, the way it is, you gotta hustle because the revolution does not fund itself. But if you would like to support your local mutant, come to the first table.
Support local mutants.
Buy my CD. Listen to my music. You know, I worked very hard on this. This isn't just some sort of gimmicky thing where I'm trying to be like, oh, I'm in wrestling. Now I'm going to record an album and it's going to suck. Like, I really put a lot of work into this.
Come on. Now, who goes into wrestling and then releases a music album? I mean, nobody does that.
You know, let's just, you know, ride the train of our gimmick and hopefully, you know, I can release this subpar, substandard, crappy album and you'll still buy it, you know. But no, that's not how it is with this. I put my what's left of my heart and soul into Shadowbox.
Yeah, that's why, you know, they say you don't have a heart and soul because you put all of it into this album.
Right, that's right. And I am continuing to record. I'm actually expanding on the Mechanical Ghost mythos, if you will, and the follow-up album is currently being recorded. I have about 5 songs half done. The Shadowbox album is an industrial album. It's entirely based around synthesizers and samples that I created. Not samples of, like, other people's songs, but, like, I went out and sampled clanging metal and turned it into an instrument.
Oh, wow.
Did it all myself. And it's very reminiscent of, like, Skinny Puppy and those kinds of bands. I'd say Nine Inch Nails, but it doesn't sound anything like Nine Inch Nails, because Nine Inch Nails is basically synth rock that people call industrial.
Well, dare we play this any of this music over the airwaves?
Yeah, I already loaded it on your computer for you.
God, would you quit doing that?
It's easier this way. What songs do we have? Let's play Hell to Pay, actually. But before you play it, this was the very, very first single that I released on this. I released it via YouTube first, and then on previous pro radio, we played it, but it sounded like absolute crap because the sound quality of their studio was just awful.
Yeah.
So now people are actually going to hear it in full stereo, right?
Yeah, they're going to hear it in full stereo the way it was intended, and hopefully not suck like it did before.
This is a song that's about coming back to where you started and really reflecting on some of the things that you've done and some of the places you've been and how they made you who you were. It was kind of inspired by this book called Necroscope about a guy who, like, returns to his hometown in some Romanian city and finds alien vampires. But the song's not about alien vampires. I just sort of used some of that, time travel, underground, buried, monstrous energy. I channeled that through myself and put it into this song. So,
all right, fair enough. All right,
run that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hell to Pay off the Mechanical Ghost album, Shadowbox. That's right, heard right here on SenCal Pro Radio. This is really you just scored? Wow. Dude, that's pretty awesome, man. Like, wow, man. That's like, you know, it's one of those, you know, you just gotta clap for something like that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Like I said, I put a lot of work into it. And it's not, I mean, this isn't the standard pop music fare that, you know, a lot of people are used to. You know, it's intentionally noisy. It's intentionally abrasive at some point. I don't really approach music from the pop song perspective anymore. I used to do that. Now, because I have some classical training. Way back when, you know, in my young pre-mutated days, I had some classical music training, and I kind of apply that here. You know, I treat my songs, you know, there's still the rock element to it, there's still the industrial element to them, but I actually compose them as one would a classical composition, with movements and the way that they flow into each other and all that junk. You know, The lyrics are a lot more linear in a lot of cases. I mean, I still do some verse-chorus stuff, but on the whole, I try to approach it that way. So just to do something different, just to get people to think a little bit, just to kind of challenge people in their perceptions.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. Challenging perceptions and thinking. I just kind of got to thinking. Speaking of being challenged in their perceptions, your boys, Urban Discipline, they're going to be challenged in their perceptions come March 22nd. Did you hear the big headline? Guess who's coming?
You just segued.
Oh, yeah. Keep laughing, because Keepers of the Faith are coming. Two buddies of mine, Gabriel Gallo and Dom Vitale.
Yes.
They're debuting at SenCal Pro Wrestling in just a couple weeks. I hope to get them on the show before. I've been wanting to ask you all show, and haven't really had a good, well, segue into it, and you kind of left it open there. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm going to be very, very honest about this match. You know, I could come up here and be like, oh, we're going to kill them. It's going to be a slaughter. We're going to murder them, blah, 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 blah. But the truth is, the Keepers of the Faith are everything that they're cracked up to be.
That's insane.
They are legit. Gabriel Gallo is a legit, big, burly, strong, scary individual. Dom Vitale, while he doesn't have Gabriel's size, he's deceptively strong. He's very, very fast. He's very, very skilled. As a tag team, they are probably one of the best tag teams in the independent. One of them. I'm not going to say the best, but they're definitely up there. Those guys leave it all in the ring every single time. And I think that it is very appropriate that Urban Discipline makes their debut on the Central Coast against a team like this. This is going to be a huge test for us. This is going to be big. We can prove ourselves against the Keepers of the Faith. It's not just going to be some little stupid throwaway squash match where, you know, well, what if they, you know, like WWE does with the Ascension. You know, they put them in for years, for over a year with, you know, these little, you know, jabroni teams, you know, that they just squished and wiped their feet and walked away. That doesn't prove anything. We're going to have a chance to prove ourselves against these two individuals. And I'm not going to say that it's going to be an easy task, but I have had the fortune of being able to see them perform many times in the past. I can plan around what I know about them. They don't have that benefit for us. They've never seen Urban Discipline in action. And even if they've seen Urban Discipline in action in other incarnations, they've never seen Urban Discipline under my guidance.
Yeah, that is true. This is a different side of Jimmy Mayhem and Max Ammo. Although I got to say, any time I've seen anything on the other side of a ring that had Gallo and Vitale on the other side of that ring, it did not bode well for whatever was on the other side of that ring.
No, I get what you're saying. And you're right. You know, those guys destroy people. But so do we. That's our job. We are a destructive force in professional wrestling. And we're not going to approach it the same way everyone else who approaches the Keepers of the Faith does so. You know, everyone else just, you know, goes right in and throws it to the wind and, you know, may the best man win, blah, blah, blah. We're coming in with a plan. I'm not going to say what that plan is, but we're coming in with a definite, definite game plan. And win or lose, we can only stand to learn from this match.
Well, there's certainly going to be hell to pay, pun certainly intended.
That was a pun.
Yeah, because that was the name of Discord's song,
yeah.
If you guys remember.
Yeah.
Remember that one time 20 minutes ago where we played, you know, Discord's music?
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome. You know, I feel like I want to go back to, you know, to old time.
Yeah? You want to play another song?
You got another song?
Yeah, I got another one on there. Let's cue up the one that I put on there called Necrotic.
Necrotic.
Necrotic, not the Chronic.
Not the, oh.
That's a different song.
God. Damn it.
Necrotic.
Necrotic.
Yeah, like rotting flesh. And
I know.
This song is actually a psychological experiment in the form of a song. During the events that led up to the creation of this, before I really had my break that led me to become what I am now, I was going through some pretty bad stuff in life, and before I really figured out who I was having some serious issues with anxiety, just, you know, about the world, everything that was going on around me. Of course, I don't have that problem anymore because I'm a badass mutant who bites people on the face.
Yeah.
But, you know, very true. You go back and learn from experience. And what Necrotic is it's actually, I was trying to create the audio equivalent of an anxiety attack, where it's sort of creeps up on you and whispers in your ear and starts telling you things, you know, that are probably true, but you don't really want to hear them and you don't really want to confront them. And then it just builds and builds and builds and builds until it explodes inside of you. And then you're sort of left with just, as it goes away and dissipates, this numb, dead, rubbery feeling. And that's what I was trying to capture in this song. So let it roll.
Oh, wow. That's right. Well, you know, while other radio stations are being listened to at school, SenCal Pro Radio is being listened to by Discord, who's out shoplifting and
the hell is she?
Other mind. I don't know. He's stealing radio, people. He's stealing. Wow, the Necrotic. Is that like something that I can get in the bag?
You can get it at mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com.
Really?
Yes,
mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com?
Mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com.
Now that it's been said three times, someone's got to go.
It's less than $9.99 a month, too.
Yeah, right? It's like a one-time purchase. You can have, like, you can literally have Discord in your ears and eyes and veins at all time. I mean, like, if being able to come to a show and grabbing Discord's big package wasn't enough, you can play his music and message and have his seed inside of you at all time.
Grab my package and have my seed in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. God, Discord, how do you even hack the things I'm going to say?
The virus.
I swear, he's like digital, like, I don't know, Manson. Like, he just, you know how to get into people's heads and computers. And
I'll take it. I'll take that.
There weren't even computers around when Manson did what he did. And are you sure you weren't talking to Charles Manson on the internet?
I could have traveled time.
They gave him internet access now.
Yeah, I know, and I'm a time traveler. So.
Although, to screw with him, they gave him dial-up.
Dicks.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know what happened last time I was anywhere near dial-up? Things got smashed.
I don't have
that kind of patience anymore. With that song, though, if you're listening to this on a phone, like, you know, you might want to go back and either listen to the rebroadcast of this or go to mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com and check out the song in stereo, because I do a lot of play with the mixing on it. And hearing it in stereo is really for the full experience, the way it kind of weaves in and out on itself. And I actually just got the capability to record 5.1 surround sound. So I'm thinking about doing a special edition release of this album, which I'll probably only be able to sell at shows because you need it on DVD, that's actually mixed in 5.1.
That's right.
That's how I hear the music in my head when I'm recording it, and I'm really excited about actually being able to do that for real now and let other people hear it the way it was intended. Because the next incarnation of this project, the new album that I'm working on, we're actually bringing in a guitarist, a friend of mine named, I'm not going to say his name right now. I'm going to let it be a surprise. And then another friend of mine, well, he's going to be playing guitar. So we're bringing in, like, good, big, heavy, chugging metal guitars and a secondary vocalist. My friend Chelsea Grin is going to come and sing backing vocals on it. And we were doing some stuff in the studio not too long ago where I was playing this, like, really, really hard industrial beat, and she was doing this sort of, like, Arabic-style backing vocal harmony over it, and it literally, like, gave me chills in my spine. It was so awesome. So where this is going to go, it's only going to get bigger, and it's only going to get weirder, and it's only going to get louder.
Oh, wow. An all-new episode of Breaking Arabic. Discord makes music.
Actually, if you come out Saturday night to Downtown Flow, you'll be able to meet her. She'll be there with me.
That's right. I heard that. Downtown Flow, Saturday night, what is that going to be? The 13th, I think? The 14th. Friday the 13th. You know, you guys should be at APW on Friday the 13th. When you're done with APW and you're back on the Central Coast, Saturday the 14th, the stars of SenCal Pro are going to land in downtown. That's right. We are literally going to take downtown by storm. Those of us who do drink, because, you know, let's face it, we're not, you know, sober life doesn't quite apply to everyone. Sober life is great, but,
I don't drink.
I drink sometimes.
I mean, I don't do it because I'm sober. I just do it because, like, you know, I get violent.
Well, and I don't drink all the time either, because I have a hard time finding places that will, put those little umbrellas in every drink.
Right.
Apparently they actually won't do that in beer bottles.
Yeah, they'll punch you for that.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And
then I'll punch you.
In front of everyone.
Yep. Yeah. Floods will probably punch you, too.
Yeah.
Chelsea will probably punch you.
Damn it. I'm all out of segues, dude. You got another song?
Yeah. There's one more. This is the title track from the album called Shadowbox.
Oh, really? There's another song? See, wow, fans, I was really grasping at straws there, trying to get out of that horrible, what they call audio rut that you can dig yourself in when you run out of verbal material.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, there actually was another song.
I couldn't prepare, but this is the last one. This is the last one I took the time to actually load on there. The song is called Shadowbox. It's the title track to the album.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
I don't know if a lot of people know this about me, but I'm a psychology student. I have Discord has gone back to college, and I'm learning psychology. And one of my favorite psychologists is, of course, Carl Jung.
And he dealt a lot with imagery and with the archetypes that we sort of project our psychological values into. And one of the big ones that he dealt with that I found interesting was the concept of the shadow. The shadow is sort of like the dark passenger in your body that makes you sometimes do the things that you regret. You know, it's sort of the seat of, like, insecurity and anger and, you know, it's the asshole inside of you. Everyone's got a little bit of an asshole inside of them. Well, I mean, everyone's got an asshole.
I'm on the positive. Everyone's got at least partial or some asshole.
Everyone has two assholes, I guess we should say.
Right.
You got the one you poop from, and you got the one that makes you do poop.
Right.
And
wow.
That was deep.
It was really deep.
Wow.
That was asshole deep.
Yeah, that was balls deep.
Wow, balls deep in asshole.
Yes. Anyway.
Awkward.
You've got this thing inside of you. But also the thing about the shadow is it's necessary because it's also the seat of creativity. You know, they say that the best art comes from suffering, and I agree with that. So you take that shadow and you give it free rein every once in a while, and it allows you to do things. It allows me to be Discord, you know, frankly. I can't be Discord 24/7, you know. Sometimes I have to turn that off and you know, go buy milk and eggs at the store and stuff like that, like everyone else. But this song is about people's tendency to take that shadow aspect of themselves and just bury it inside of themselves and deny it. And all that happens when you deny those dark impulses in yourself is they just get stronger and stronger and stronger, and then they pop off at times that are not convenient for you. So a shadow box being the title of the album, you know, it's about, you know, the mistake of boxing up the shadow and the bad things that happen when it finally breaks free.
Wow, kind of like bottling up all your true thoughts and feelings and then burning bridges with everyone who ever really did anything for you or gave a crap about you and then wondering how it all really went down.
Exactly.
Crazy. I mean, that's a complete hypothetical situation.
Yeah,
I mean,
speaking.
It certainly puts the pathetic in hypothetical. We're going to go ahead and play music right now. This is Shadowbox from the album of the same name by the Mechanical Ghost. Thank you. This is insane, man. This is really truly 2 years worth of work, a culmination of artists, if you will. You got something good here, my friend.
Like I said, I put a lot of work into it. I put my heart and soul into it, and did what I could with it. And frankly, I don't really care if people like it. I make music that I want to hear. But if people listen to it and they do like it, that's all the better. Especially if they buy it. You should buy it.
Yeah, buy it.
Buy it. Revolutions don't fund themselves. Support your local mutant. That's my thing.
One time I was buy it. Did you hear buy it? I'm trying to buy it. I can't even buy it. I can't even get words out. Buy it. I have a feeling someone's going to buy your album tonight.
It's at mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com. Did you know that?
Mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com?
Mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com.
That's three times. Someone promised.
Does Beetlejuice come when you say that? Is that what happens?
I think so. Someone promised. Three times. Somebody promised something happens. Three times. Someone promised. I think if Beetlejuice doesn't come, then someone can at least buy the album.
At mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com.
That's right. You see, Ben, whether you're buying tickets to SenCal Pro Wrestling
at SenCalPro.brownpapertickets.com,
or whether you're buying albums from Discord
at mechanicalghost.bandcamp.com,
just know that your money is being made on the Central Coast and being spent right here on the Central Coast, because, quite frankly, there are a lot of starving people on this planet. Why?
Chicken wings aren't going to eat themselves.
That's right. So why not feed some of the starving ones right here in your own local community? And, speaking of chicken wings in a local community, I think Buffalo Wild Wings is in order.
All right, I'll go.
Yeah, I see. Twisting Discord's arm is, kind of like twisting a one of those, chicks with the black leather and all the piercings and stuff with the whips, and they, say, all right, step on your balls now. It'll be $2,800, and I don't really know what that's like, but I'm guessing that's what it's like.
What are you talking about?
It's like twisting her arm. She'd probably like it.
Okay. Before we take off, there's actually one other thing that I'm reading your thing, and you forgot something on the list.
Oh, yeah.
We're not only going to be downtown in San Luis Obispo on Saturday night. Myself, Sledge, Jimmy Ray, maybe Clay Towser. Thursday night, graduate, country night. We've got a table set up there. If I have to go there and I have to listen to country music and I have to watch people line dance, the least you could do is show up and let me insult you and then buy some tickets from us.
Yeah, I guarantee that will be more fun than being told by a bunch of hot country line dancers that, no, sorry, my boyfriend's here.
Yep.
Because that's pretty much it. I swear that's like their name, because that's all I hear.
I'll tell you right now, if you like butts, there's a lot of butts and tight pants at country night.
Yeah, I gotta admit, that was a hell of a draw. I didn't imagine there would be that many people at country line dancing night.
Yeah, that was like the palace of ass.
It kind of was. I gotta admit that the following night was kind of a letdown.
We did Latin night, and we're gonna be there again on Friday, Latin night. If you're into Latin music, or if you're not into Latin music and you just want to watch Sledge go crazy because he is not into Latin music, come then.
Yeah.
Come, let me insult you. Come buy tickets. $10. Actually, if you mention that you listen to SenCal Pro Radio, or if you walk up to us and use the phrase "previous Pro Radio," we'll give you a special deal on tickets.
Oh, the special previous Pro Radio deal for the ticket holder, the aficionado that knows their history. Just use the word "previous Pro Radio."
MechanicalGhost.bandcamp.com.
It's the mantra for the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another broadcast of SenCal Pro Radio, and we will go as long as we need to each and every week.
MechanicalGhost.bandcamp.com.
MechanicalGhost.bandcamp.com. I can't stop saying that. I feel so compelled to go to that website. What was the website again?
MechanicalGhost.bandcamp.com.
You see that? We are nothing but a promotions giant. SenCal Pro Wrestling is hot because it is here, is because it is time for the Central Coast to get loving from the pro wrestling side of the galaxy. Well, everyone, tune in to us next week as we are going to be broadcasting once again live from the W.L. Fraley Studios in beautiful Pismo Beach, California, and we will have more stars from the SenCal Pro roster and a few more surprises that we are waiting until next week to unleash. For myself, for SenCal Pro, for previous Pro Wrestling Radio, and
for MechanicalGhost.bandcamp.com.
For MechanicalGhost.bandcamp.com. Is there an echo in here? I'm Jimmy Ray. See you all next week on the radio.